appreciate that. Anybody else? Nobody else. Take your Bibles. Turn with us over to the book of St. Matthew, chapter 3. Book of St. Matthew, chapter 3. I know I've preached about this a lot of times, but I don't know that I've ever just preached on this, but it's what the Lord has impressed on our heart. I've also enjoyed the service this morning. Good singing. Good to see some back that ain't been able to be here in a while. A few Sundays, and we need to keep praying for them. I meant to mention in the service early this morning, we need to pray for the poor family. That's why Daryl and the girls ain't here. Sister Margaret's mother passed away, and that'd be Brother Lonnie's mother-in-law. And they come here pretty regular, and a lot of you's gotten close to them. He preaches for us, and I know they've found a dear place in your heart, so we need to pray for them. Her the homegoing of her mother, amen. We know where she's at. She had a profession of faith that she'd been saved, and I hope that you've got that today. We could be the next one to leave here. Really never know. But I want you to stand for the reading of God's Word. You pray for just a moment. I won't read but just a few verses this morning. And then we'll try to do that the Lord's laid on our heart. The Bible said in chapter 3 of the book of Matthew, starting in verse 1. He said, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. And then went out to him Jerusalem and all of Judea and all the region about round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generations of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees, and therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. And he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." You may be seated this morning. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you once again. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to be gathered in your house. I thank you for the good singing, the good spirit we've been able to feel. Thankful most of all for the Holy Spirit that's moved on hearts and they've come and prayed this morning. Lord, I believe there's others, Lord, may need to come and pray and talk to you about things that's on their heart. Lord, it's good to see these come in, Lord, that ain't been physically able to be here. Now I pray, God, you'd give them a double portion, Lord, and you'd bless them. Lord, again this morning, Lord, I pray, God, you'd touch each one of us, Lord, through your word. God, I pray, Lord, you'd help us, Lord, to get ourselves out of the way. Lord, we know within ourselves we're nothing, Lord, but if we let you use us, Lord, your people can be fed, hearts can be touched, things can be mended and repaired, and those that are lost can be saved. I pray, God, you'd be a Brother Troy today as he stands. I pray that you'd be a Brother EJ, Lord, and all the other preachers across this land that may be standing in the pulpit this morning to proclaim the word of truth. Pray, Lord, you'd be Brother Lonnie and Sister Margaret. Lord, you'd comfort them in this time and their family. And God, we pray, Lord, now you'd move, Lord, in this invitation, Lord, when it comes time, Lord, that hearts should be touched. Thank you, Lord, for all the visitors that's come this way this morning. I pray their hearts have been touched in some way, Lord, that they'd want to come back and be with us. And Lord, I thank you for every member, Lord, that started the doors this morning. Lord, we may not ever be gathered together again just like this again. And I pray, Lord, that you'd have, Lord, whatever needs to be accomplished today, I pray, Lord, that in no way any of us would get in the way of your will being done. And whatever's accomplished, we'll do our best to bow and worthy head. Give you the praise and honor and the glory, Lord, for everything that you've done and that you're going to do. If it's in Jesus' name, we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. I begin to think about this morning the ministry of John the Baptist here in chapter 3. And then if you want to, just for a moment, you'll notice if you turn over to chapter 4, and starting in chapter 4, the Bible said, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." When you flip over and begin to get to the end of chapter 4, you'll find that the Bible said in verse 17, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" If you're a Bible reader, you know the Bible said in one place that Jesus began to start his ministry at the age of 30. Now, some believe that John the Baptist here in chapter 3 was around 12 years old. But when you begin to think about just one chapter separating that of the starting of Jesus' ministry, plus you read there how John was locked up in prison, there's nothing that really gives us clarification there of how old or how young he was. But personally, I believe he was an older gentleman. Amen. I don't have anything wrong with a young man preaching the gospel, but I believe we have to have understanding. And when we think about the Lord Jesus Christ teaching the lawyers and those down at the temple at 12 years old, I don't believe John had any greater wisdom than the Son of God. Amen. So I believe he was an older man. We read here, the Bible said, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea." If I had a thought above another this morning, it'd be this: here comes John. Amen. John the Baptist. We know that from the Old Testament, there at the end of the Old Testament, there was silence for the space of 400 years where no word was heard from the Lord. Nobody had visions. There's no preaching, no prophecy taking place, Brother D.B. Nobody was reading God's word. And all of a sudden, one day, here comes a man, amen, born of Elizabeth and Zacharias, come preaching, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand." He come preaching out of the wilderness to get our hearts right and turn back to God. Amen. Boy, you don't hear preaching on repentance much anymore. But repent means I'm sorry for what I've done. I'm sorry for the things I've said. I'm going to turn away from the things that I've done and repent and turn around and follow the Lord through the Holy Spirit and live for Him from this day forward. Amen. Oh, repentance is mentioned a lot, but we don't see repentance going on like we used to when a man, woman, boy, or girl repented. They set their eyes toward heaven and they never turned back again. Amen. Would to God today. I want you to know that John preached repentance. Jesus preached repentance. Paul preached repentance. Peter preached repentance. Amen. Brother Cook preached repentance. I'm going to preach repentance. And if God don't come back for another 1,000 years, they'll still be preaching repent. Amen. We need people to repent and turn. You know, here in chapter 3, the Bible said
In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness. And a lot of them have said Baptist started and came out of the Catholic Church. Let me just tell you real quick, Baptist didn't start from the Catholic Church. Amen. It certainly didn't. It don't really matter if it did or didn't, though. I tell you what mattered. John was preaching the truth. God sent him to get everybody ready for Jesus. He said, the Son of Man's coming. And I'm here today to tell you, at this time I'm preaching, he's coming again. You better be ready, repent. Jesus is coming, amen. John wasn't well to look on. You know, a lot of times I've had people through the years. Brother Lonnie's been my pastor for a long time. I've never seen nothing out of him except for good. As far as preaching for the kingdom of the Lord and trying to live right and do right. But Lonnie never wore a tie. Lonnie hardly never wore a suit. And Brother Nick, there'd be times that people would make light of my pastor. Even me standing around there and say, yep, Lonnie don't wear a tie. Lonnie don't do this. And Lonnie don't do that. You know what they was pretty much saying? Lonnie didn't fit in man's mold. Amen. Amen. Well, let me just tell you something. Neither did John the Baptist. Amen. Come out in the wilderness preaching. He didn't come from the church house. He came from the woods. I believe where he'd been praying and talking to God. And he come out of the wilderness preaching, Brother Nick. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand. Brother, you say, what is the kingdom? Jesus is the kingdom that we need to be looking for. If you're not saved, you're not in the kingdom. Amen. John come preaching from the wilderness. Came out of the woods. Well, Brother Jeff, something must have been wrong with him. You know, the Bible said there'd be one come in the spirit of Elijah. Elias, if that's what they said. But Elias was Elijah. Brother Tony and Elijah came out of the wilderness preaching. Amen. He was in the woods preaching. And Elijah confronted sin. And so did John. Amen. Let me just say this today. Any preacher worth salt, and a preacher of truth, going to preach repentance. He's going to preach against sin. He's going to preach to live right. And the Bible's going to be the inerrant, infallible truth, the Word of God. Every word of it's true. Amen. Oh, John, come preaching. They had their religious sect set up. He comes saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Isaiah was Isaiah. Some of you might not know that. But it was the prophet Isaiah, and he made this statement over in the book of Isaiah many, many years before John was ever born. He began to tell him, he said, there's going to come one that's going to rule as governor over his people. He's talking about Jesus Christ. He said, then there's going to come one preaching out of the wilderness. Amen. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. And John came. He was a son of the Lord. And the hand of the Lord was on him. And John got him ready for the coming of Jesus. Amen. Oh, John began to tell them here. Said in the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. I want to ask you a question real quick this morning. If a man were to come in here this morning wearing a big old camel's coat Amen. Some of you might not know, camels is hairy. I've rode a camel before. Amen. Brother Tony, they got hair on them. It's not like fur. It's not expensive coat, Brother Nick. I mean, camels are not expensive animals. And a man come in this church wearing a camel's coat and around his loins being this area, he had leathern girdles wrapped about him. And he come in here this morning. I promise you the first thing you'd be thinking was somebody from the motorcycle gangs done showed up. Amen. But you'd be sadly mistaken, friend. He wasn't from that kind of club. But this was the man of God had come to preach the truth and to tell people about the Son of God that was coming not far after him. Amen. Do you know every time I'm preaching to you, to get your hearts ready, I'm expecting not long after I preach that during the invitation the Holy Spirit's going to come walking through here and show up. I don't even have to see a show of hands, but I just about guarantee you at least 70% of everybody in this church got their heart pricked or touched during the invitation time when the preacher said, "Let's get a verse of song." Shouldn't be when the Lord shows up, but a lot of times that's when we sense the Spirit of the Lord stronger during the invitation. When John was preaching, nobody seen Jesus. Nobody had been around Jesus. Jesus' ministry hadn't quite got going yet. If you remember everything that Jesus did, he did it 3.5 years. His ministry wasn't spanned over a great many years, but it was all packed in to this little time, a space of time where God's Son worked among his people. Amen. John was getting them ready for him. Why did he have to get them ready? I think about John like I do the chambers where the bride's at before the wedding. We'd all be in shock if we're talking and all of a sudden nobody plays the piano. And the bride comes out and don't have a veil on and no makeup or nothing. And all of a sudden one minute we're talking, the next minute here comes this lady down the aisle like this. No preparation made, Brother Nick. No candle set up. No flowers. But John was the candles. John was the flowers. John was the time when the dad goes back in the room with his daughter to kiss her and put that veil down over her face before they bring her out and present her to everybody else. Some of you ain't got to experience that yet, and I'm one of them, praise the Lord. I hope it's a glorious day and not a sad day. Every wedding ain't a glorious day. If I get a good son-in-law, I'll be happy. If I get a sorrow one, I'll be sad, no matter how pretty she is. And I ain't going to want to just give her to anybody. John was preparing the people to get ready for Jesus. Why was he having to prepare them? Just like a woman prepares a meal for when the whole family's coming over to get together. You just don't do that in a few minutes. It takes some preparation. Boy, I've been thinking about this a lot this morning. But the Son of God was fixing to show up on the scene. They'd never had nobody to open the eyes of the blind if somebody had been blind from birth. They never had anybody that could put his hand on somebody and say, "Be thou clean," and the leprosy just dry up. They had never seen people and just say, "Arise, take up your bed and walk," and the crippled legs just strengthen and get up and able to walk. Amen. And John said, "There's one coming after me whose shoes I'm not even worthy to unloose." He knew what kind of man was coming. He was eating locusts and wild honey. not going to argue with you, but I did some study a little bit. And it could be one of two things. They said there was a fruit over there they called locust. Maybe he was eating fruit and honey. A lot, most of the time, was talking about locusts. Brother Matt is talking about grasshoppers. I did a study one time on grasshoppers, and they say they're better nutrition for the body than any other thing that you could eat in this world. I'm just going to let you know I'm never going to get the good food in me. They say they're good for you, but I'm never going to find out, brother. I'm not eating grasshoppers. I have to get down pretty bad hungry. But John was down in the wilderness getting ready to come out and prepare the way of the Lord. The Bible said this went out to him, Jerusalem and all of Judea and all the regions round about Jordan. People started hearing about John the Baptist. I don't believe everybody heard his voice coming down from the wilderness. I believe there's people going by, boy, you ought to come down there and hear this preacher. He's come preaching out of the wilderness. He's preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand. And boy, he's shelling her out there. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You'll hear one preacher preach, and I hope this ain't the way you do me. And you'll say, yeah, he's all right. You ought to come hear him sometime. And then sometime you'll tell somebody, oh, good. He's the best preacher I ever heard. You need to come hear him. I believe that's what they ain't heard no preaching for 400 years. No word of the Lord, Brother Tony. No vision. No reading of the scriptures in the open streets like it did in the Old Testament. No prophet. No prophecy for 400 years. And all of a sudden, a man comes out of the wilderness preaching, amen. Don't tell me he didn't get everybody's attention and stir them up. The Bible said everybody in the region round about was coming down there to see what was going on. I like a song we used to sing, let's all go down to the river. There's a man who's walking on the water. Come along with me. Don't you want to see this man walking on the water? John was down there baptizing. And Jerusalem and Judea and all around about region went down. Why'd they go down there when they heard his preaching repentance? Did you know the Jewish nation believed that the Samaritans and the Gentiles, which is us, they need to repent, confess their sins, be dipped all the way underwater to get rid of all their dirty nastiness so that they could just be equal to the Jews that was born of Abraham's family. Did you know that? So they liked John's preaching. Till they went down there and John told them they need to repent too. You can read a few verses on down there. He said, don't tell me your father's Abraham. I say repent. Repent. Get your heart right with the Lord. Let me just say this real quick. I hope this don't offend you. But the nation Israel and the people of Israel, they need to repent and get saved just like I do. They're not going to heaven because their daddy was a Jew. They're not going to heaven because they came from Abraham's family. They're not going to heaven because they live over in Israel. No more than we're going because we're in the United States. If you go to heaven, it'll be because you're saved. Amen. And if you're saved, you'll live right. I didn't say perfect. I said you'll live right. Stephen, there's probably a lot of saved boys on them boats with you that ain't living right. Amen. Let me just give you some words of encouragement. I don't get preaching much. This goes right to you. Just because you ain't church don't mean you shouldn't live right, boy. Amen. Amen. Can I get an amen there? Just because you're on a ship and done left land don't mean you can drink cuss. Amen. Well, he's a grown man, Brother Jeff. Leave him alone. Grown men act right and live right and walk right. Amen. One of the writers, he said, when I was a child, I acted as a child. I spake as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Amen. That comes a time in every man, woman, boy, and girl's eyes where we need to grow up and act like we're saved. Amen. And when we mess up, We need to repent. Just like David did. Just like Abraham did. Just like Noah did. Just like Peter did. Just like Judas did. Amen. We can go on and on and on. We're not above these men or women. You might say, Brother Jeff, I've been saved, but I've never come back to the altar and repented. I want you to know, if you've been saved longer than 24 hours, you're probably out of the will of the Lord if you've never repented. Amen. Amen, Brother Jeff. That's the truth, preacher. Preach on. The preacher's the Lord. It ain't me. Sometimes when I holler amen like that, I think it says people off. I remember when Horace used to preach and he'd get full of the Holy Spirit. Brother Mallon, he'd get to preach. He'd go, woo! He'd say, boy, it's good preaching even if I'm doing it. Amen. Amen. If it's the truth, it don't matter who's preaching it. It's still the truth. Amen. They come down there, they was baptized of him in Jordan. Guess what that's doing? Confessing their sins. We don't do that too much anymore. Lord, forgive me. I've been saying things I shouldn't say. Lord, I shouldn't have watched that the other day. Lord, forgive me. Yesterday I was talking about brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. I shouldn't have been doing that. Lord, forgive me. That's why I know we can't go all week without needing to repent. We're human beings. We're still in the flesh. I'll never forget. Brother Harold Weatherford went over to visit one of our oldest members. She was either right around 96, 98 years old. She called my pastor and said, Brother Harold, I really need to talk to you about something serious. He said, she never called me like that, Brother Jeff. And he said, I went over there and said, I went over to her house. She just lived right there beside the church. And Brother Mallon, he went in to visit, and he said, I believe it was Gladys. There was two ladies there, but one I remember her name's Gladys. I think it's one he went and talked to. He went in there, and he sat down. And he said, Gladys, what's bothering you? She said, Brother Harold, I'm just having a hard time living right. And Harold said, I thought, what in the world? She don't ever leave the house. She sits in the living room, don't have a TV. Nobody else lives where but Sutton Lake. They're both saved. They're 95, 96, 98 years old, both of them. What could be bothering her so bad? And he said, Gladys, what is it? What's bothering you so bad? She said, Brother Harold, I just can't quit dipping. Can't quit this snuff. She's been doing it her whole life. And Brother Harold looked at her, and he said, Brother Jeff, I didn't know what to say. He said, Gladys, if that's the worst problem you got, honey, he said, you're so close to heaven, it's not going to take you out any early. I promise you that. He said, Jeff, I didn't condone that. If she felt like it was wrong in her heart, she needs to work on getting that out. But there's no scripture, there's no message he could have preached where we're going to get things out of our heart. When there's something bothering us, we're going to have to get to the point where we want to repent. We're not going to repent because the preacher said repent. We need to repent because we know what we're doing is wrong. Amen. I wonder how many of us this morning, and I'll just start with me if we're not careful. We need to all put ourselves, I won't point my fingers at me, not you for a moment. Would want to stand up here, and I'd start off. So I'd just like to tell all of you everything I did wrong this week. And roll off the list. Amen. A lot of people don't know this, but I know it. Sometimes I'll preach something, and you'll leave here, and you're mad at me. You ain't got to confess that. I know it. But sometimes I leave here, and I'm mad at you because you didn't come. Amen. I want everybody to be here every service. If I'm going to study and get ready to preach, I want somebody to come hear me. Amen. But it ain't about what I've got to say. I want it to be coming from the Lord. I want the Holy Spirit. I want hearts to be pricked. I want there to be a drawing, an invitation time. And I want the saved to repent. And I want the lost to get saved. Amen. That's what John wanted. He was getting them ready for Jesus. And I never thought of it just quite like this. And I'm done. I want to come get a verse of song. I'm trying to get you ready for Jesus. I'm the getting ready man. Just like John. What are you trying to get me ready for, preacher man? There's a man down here that's going to love you more than anybody else has ever loved you. So you better get ready. If you come, he's going to love you like nobody else has ever loved you. There's a man down here that's going to talk to you like nobody else has ever talked to you. When you're wrong, he's going to tell you you're wrong. When you're right, he's going to encourage you and tell you you're right. You know, the disciples even said this, never a man spake like this man. He's going to talk in a way that your mom and daddy don't talk to you. The deacons don't talk to you like the preacher don't talk to you like that, but Jesus is going to talk to you in a special way. Another thing you need to get ready for, he'll always be there. Just might as well go ahead and count on it. In the wee hours of the morning when you're up the hospital at 2 o'clock in the morning, everybody else is asleep on chairs and laying around. If you need to talk to the Lord, he'll say, what is it, my son? What is it, my daughter? That's the kind of person you need to get ready for. That's the kind of person he is. The kind of man he is, he's never turned anybody down that wanted to be saved. Got two or three, that's right, and amens. Has anybody here ever went to the Lord and asked him to save me, turned them down to try his feet? I'd like to see it. That's what I thought. Nobody. Scripture said this, he'll in no wise cast you out. Why would a man go to Calvary, let him drive nails in his hands and feet, crown of thorns on his head, a spear in his side, be mocked, be put in a grave, to rise again? You come ask him to get saved, and he said he wants you to be saved. And he says, not today. You ain't living right yet. He don't do that. He takes you. He saves you, and he cleans you up. A lot of people says, well, I just need to start living right and then I'll start going to church. You're never going to live right. Even when you get saved, you're not going to always live right. I believe in sin. I believe in preaching against sin. But I believe as long as we're in this world, we're going to sin. The Bible said that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But John, when he's down there baptizing, I'm going to touch two other things real quick and I'm done. Down there baptizing one day, people's going down there, and I don't know what all this confessing. And be honest with you, I don't care. I'm glad they got to a point they would confess it and wanted to be baptized. And John would baptize them. And I tell you, boy, my heart was stirred up the other week. It's been a while since I've been at a baptism down at the creek. I almost, if I'd had some clothes, I would have baptized Sean and Shane while I was up there. But they wanted to be baptized with Ty so bad, so we're having to wait on Ty. Amen. And that's fine. It's good to have good friends that you want to be baptized with and hang around with. I thought I was going to preach on this here for too long, I will, but I want to share something. And I know it was a private moment for them, and I ain't going to get to the other thing that I thought I was going to get to, but I do want to share this. Was up at the hospital, and Ty hurt his foot, and Sean and Shane was fixing to have to go home. Their mama was up there with us. We've had them for almost 2 years, except for about, I think, 2.5 months, right at 2 months. Brother Tony, that was with their mom and them up there, and they went back home about 2 weeks ago, I guess, the day that Ty got his foot hurt. And we was up at the hospital, and Sean was getting his EEG done. Ty got his foot cut, so Amanda ran over to the other hospital once Sean was done with his test, and Shane wasn't with us. We got ready to leave. He got to see Ty for just a moment. I got to see, you know, the Bible talks about when they be humble as a little child. I got to see true love and true friendship that day. Something that I think as adults we forget. I've got a good friend that's been my friend since the fifth grade. Sometimes I can't even, my wife don't even know this, but I'll call him, get to talking to him on the phone. I say, well, I just want you to know, if I ain't got another friend, your best friend, I got one of the best friends I got, and I'll get to crying. He's still one of my best friends from the fifth grade. See, sometimes you don't think friendships last that long, but they can. He went up there, and I'd give Sean some baseball cards, and him and Ty started collecting them. I don't even know that Sean, but he's early into sports. But anyway, he wants to collect cards because Ty's collecting cards. If Ty collects flowers, he'll be wanting to collect flowers. That's what they do. But anyway, I gave him some baseball cards because he was going home. And then Ty got his foot cut, so he went up there and he said, well, Uncle Jeff, I need to see Ty because I got to give him this. And so we got at the hospital, they was asking Ty, I said, do you want to go get Sean? And the whole time he's just sort of laying there in and out, it wasn't talking to nobody. I prayed with him. He didn't say much, just, hey, you know, wasn't merely in a talkative mood. They said something about Sean. He said, yeah, go get Sean. So I stood there and I said, told the man, I said, go get him. And she went and got Sean, Brother Tony, and he come in. The first thing Ty said, he said, hey, buddy. He goes, hey, buddy. He said, hey, guess what? I got to ride an ambulance and a helicopter. It was neat, man. It was cool. And they were just talking amongst one another, and where he'd got life flighted. And he said, well, I got something for you. I'm going to give you this card. And he gave him the card. And then they said that we needed to leave, so we prayed. And they was fixed to go down to surgery, Brother Tony. And they carried him back in the surgery room, and they said, what's that you got in your hand? He says, a card my friend gave me. Can I carry it back here with me? They're like, yeah. So he wouldn't let them have the card. He carried it with him in the surgery. Well, surgery lasted so long, Brother Nick, and he went back in recovery. His mom and dad didn't get to see him. It was getting so late, we couldn't wait no longer. He had to go home. And we was going to let him say bye because we didn't know when he'd get to see him again. And Stacy said, I'll tell you what I'll do. Won't you just take my phone? Because I said, well, you can just video something and text it to him or email it to him. So I make good technology, praise the Lord, when you're using it for the right reasons. She said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll just give you my phone and you can just video a message to him. When he wakes up, I'll let him hear it. And he said, all right. And he's just standing there and she goes, well, now, if you don't want me to hear what you want to say or nothing like that, you can go in that other room. And he just gets the phone and smiles and walks in another room. So I was going to let him have his time, Brother Mallory. He kept going on and on and on. I thought, well, this ain't no two-hour movie now. I mean, we just need a little something, say something to your friend. So I went in there and I walked in there and I said, you all right, buddy? And he goes, Uncle Jeff, come here. And I could tell he's having problems. I didn't know that thing was still recording. It was getting me and him saying, come in here, Uncle Jeff, and everything. We got it stopped, and I tried to let him record another recording. But when we couldn't get a good one, it kept messing up. Finally, I said, well, let's just look back at the one you had. And I listened to it, and I started crying. And I told him, I said, even though it got messed up on me, let's just leave that on there. That's the one he needs to hear. And he had that little phone, Brother Nick, and he said, this is what he said. He said, hey, Ty, bud, it's Sean. I don't know if I'm going to get to see you in 2 or 3 days or 2 or 3 months, but you're the best friend that I've got. I just want you to know it. And then it goes pause. He's just looking at it and didn't know how to stop it. And then you hear me going, you all right in there, bud? Come here, Uncle Jeff. You know, rest of it's on there, so I don't know. Maybe they'll save that video. I don't know. Get a good laugh out of it. But, you know, I wonder if we could video something to a good friend or video something to Jesus, what would we say? Lord, I'm sorry. I ain't did everything I should. Or maybe, Lord, you're the best friend I've ever had. I want us to rise to our feet. I don't want to drag it on this morning. I feel like the Lord's had his way. Hearts has been touched. You know, sometimes, even though Jesus knows everything, God knows everything, I think he likes to hear how much we love him just like a friend does, or our husband and wife. How about it this morning? Feel like you need to pray. Now's the time to come. Maybe you need to repent. Get some things out of your life and turn your heart back to the Lord. Some things is hindering you from being what you need to be for the Lord. Go ahead, Brother Nick. Whatever verse or song's on your heart this morning. See, your best friend. How about it this morning?